Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Turn with me in your Bible to Matthew chapter 6, and I'll get us started in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, I thank you. I thank you for your word. I thank you for the messages that you put within us and that it burns within us. I thank you, Father, that your scriptures burn within us, burning away all the dross, burning away everything that is not of you in the layers of our soul, Lord God. Thank you that your word penetrates us to the core of our being, cleansing us, purifying us, and preparing us for the days ahead. I thank you, Father, for your presence here. I ask, Lord God, that you would just come in and wherever people are tonight, Lord God, that you would settle things around them. Those that will listen to this later, settle things around them that they can hear and receive this message you have for us tonight. Thank you, Lord. In your precious and most holy name. Amen. So the last time we were together, I talked about the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven being released. I talked about the shaking of 2020 and what God wants to do in this nation this particular year and the message that he had placed upon my heart. And for those that were willing, that are willing to go deeper into him, that are willing to separate themselves, that are willing to seek his face, he is going to unlock the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven to us. And remember, I talked about a door that I saw, this old archway door. It was very thick, very heavy, and it had a key, a big keyhole in the middle of it, and it had a key, and I saw the key, and it was soaked with his blood because he had paid the price with his blood for us to receive the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven. In the Old Testament, as we read through the Old Testament, you know, we see these moments with God where God impacts and speaks to the prophets, where God, you know, speaks to his messengers to then deliver it to the people. That intimate one-on-one relationship with God, it really wasn't something that like we have now. And so for him to come and pave the way for us to be able to have that intimacy with him through his blood, to regain that intimacy with our Creator that was lost in the garden. It's a precious thing that any who come under his blood, any who receive him as their Savior, any who seek his face should see as a precious, a most precious treasure that we seek after. So when he showed me that vision, when I had that vision, I began to pray into it more and more and more. And of course, we had our GOE recently in Portland. And as the Lord has begun to speak to me about this year and about the mysteries of his kingdom that he wants to release, about what he wants to do in the body of Christ, about what he wants to do in this nation, something began to rise up within me in this ignition, this burning in my spirit. It's almost so overwhelming at times. A yearning for him, a hungering for him, a quest to know him more. But not just for myself, for my family, and for each of you. Anyone who is willing to walk on this journey. So over the course of the last, you know, couple of months, because I did share about the shaking coming, I shared that actually after DC. And that message is on our website. and I've sought him and asked him to give me to unlock it in levels for us and to give me the messages that he wants released in this hour. I know mom speaks too, and he will give her what he has for her to release. But what he's fleshed on my heart, it's a weight. It's a weight on my heart. It's a weight on my heart. Because for so long, we've been so far behind. And yet he wants to release so much of himself to us. So much of who he is to us. And I feel it. It burns within me. Sometimes I feel like I'm going to explode under the weight of it. You know, just from within, an explosion. Like my body literally cannot contain the deposits he wants to place within us. It's such a precious and intimate thing. It's a longing he has for us. It's a hunger he has to release his kingdom within us and through us. Last year over Passover, I did a message. I think it's called The Purpose of His Passion, in which I spoke on the hunger that God had for his creation and the longing he had to interact with his creation once again on a intimate level. When he came into the garden every day with Adam and Eve, when he came into the garden, he came and he fellowshipped with his creation. He loved his creation. He still loves his creation, but he was able to, because they were not walking in sin, to have that intimate fellowship with his creation. And when they sinned, that was cut off. And I know we had Moses came and he brought the law, but there wasn't intimacy there. Moses was a friend of God. Abraham was a friend of God. But these are few and far between. Hundreds of thousands, millions had gone before. Between the time of Adam and Eve and Moses. And the Bible only speaks of less than a handful of people that had that fellowship with God, that intimacy. Yet even Moses had to be hid in the cleft of the rock before God would pass by him and allow him to see the backside. He could not even look upon his face, lest his holiness destroy Moses. But God gave whatever Moses was capable of receiving. And that watered-down version got to the people, because the people would not even prepare themselves to receive of who God was, to receive the intimacy, the mysteries, the beauty, the holiness, the love of God, their Creator. When Jesus came, he came and he had fellowship. He had intimacy with his disciples. When they ate at the Last Supper, you know, John would come and rest his head on the chest of Jesus. Peter and John were among his, and James were his best friends. His closest friends. He shared everything that they were willing to receive of him. Still in pockets of time, seeing, oh my gosh, this is the Son of God. But in reality, The fact that he walked with them and he talked with them and he engaged with people, they saw his miracles, they saw his might, but to really embrace the fact that this was a son of God who came, who, as was written in the scriptures of the Old Testament, and his life was fulfilling, they didn't even see and understand the fullness of what that meant until after he rose from the dead. They had walked with God in the flesh. And I can only imagine what it was like for them to reflect upon those times that they had sat with him around the fire, cooking some fish, that they had broken bread with him, the teachings, the intimate teachings that he gave them about the kingdom of heaven. As they watched him heal the sick, and care for men, women, children, the lepers who were banished into the outskirts, a community of their own, yet he embraced them and he hugged them. The blind, who it was considered a judgment if you were blind, he touched them and he healed them. And his disciples looked on and they watched. After he rose from the dead, I can imagine those moments coursing through their thoughts, through their heart, as they pondered everything he did. John tells us that there's so many things that he did while he walked this earth that there isn't enough space in the world to contain the books that would be written. So what we see in the scriptures, what we see written about him and the things that he did while he walked this earth was so great. You know, I have a large print Bible because, you know, my vision isn't that great. I have a large print Bible. This thing must weigh 6 or 7 pounds, and I lug this thing around because it's my word. It's my life. But I can only imagine all that it contains here. Can you imagine that? Covering the surface of the earth, book upon book, stack upon stack of all the beautiful things that he did while he walked this earth. And we only have 4 actual books dedicated to that. In this book of 66 books. Yet this is just a drop in the ocean of who he is, what he did. The Word of God is a drop in the ocean. One single drop of water in the ocean of what he did, who he is. And he longs for his creation to hunger for him. Do we hunger for the ocean of information that's out there for us? Do we hunger for that? Do we do what we need to do? Do we seek his face? Do we avail ourselves to him, to his presence, to immersing ourselves in him so that the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven can be released within us? When the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven are released within you, it transforms you from within. It is like a violent storm coming at you, penetrating you at your very core, and as it flushes you out, it gets rid of the things that are not of God, and it places within you him, your creator, who he is, the intimate knowledge of his will and his ways, his plans, his purposes, the future. We often seek the word of the prophet. Why? Because we want to know what's going to come. Why do we want to know? Do we prepare? Oh, I'll get some food and water. I'll get some extra blankets in case we lose power. But that's not the preparation he's looking for from his children. He's looking for his children to prepare themselves, their vessels, to be used by him, to immerse themselves in His presence, His Spirit. This is what He wants from His children. To immerse themselves and prepare themselves. That's why He speaks to the prophets. So that we will hunger for the voice of God. So that we will seek His face. Why? So we know what to do next? No! He wants to commune with us. He wants to fellowship with us. When Jesus walked this earth, He embraced His disciples. It was such a commonplace thing that while they sat around the table to eat, as they were fellowshipping and Jesus was speaking of His Father, the one whom Jesus loved would lay His head upon His breast. That's intimacy. That's a beautiful and pure and uncorrupt fellowship. That's why He speaks to the prophets, so that we will long for that. So that we will long for that fellowship. So we will long to go to our prayer closet to hear the voice of God for ourselves. You know, in Virginia, not too long ago, they had the Second Amendment rally, you know, and they, thousands of people descended on Virginia in this 5-mile radius, all with guns, not a single act of violence, not a single arrest. The media was saying that the governor is going to release martial law and descend upon them and take their guns. And I got to thinking about that. None of that happened, of course, but I got to thinking about that. Say martial law was implemented in Virginia. Everybody was forced into their homes. Say, because we know they have the capability to shut down all communication. How would people know what God wants them to do? Have they sought Him? Have they sought His face? Have they spent time with Him so that they can hear His voice? So they can hear, God, how do you want me to release heaven here? Because I told you last year, the 2019, the Lord said, repent for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. He is releasing His kingdom into the earth. Are we receiving it? Are we tapping into His Spirit to receive His kingdom and release it into the earth? Because if we think we're suddenly going to be able to tap into that, if we're in lockdown in our homes, we are sadly mistaken. We have to tap into it every single day. We have to, in fact, immerse ourselves in it. He will tell you whether to go to the right or to the left, whether to stop, whether to go forward, whether to go backward. He will speak to you if you've prepared yourself. We are created to be vessels of His kingdom, to release His kingdom in the earth. Matthew chapter 6, verse 9. After this manner, therefore, pray ye, Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be Thy name. Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For Thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. This here is how we communicate with God. And why do we communicate with Him? Why do we tap into the kingdom of heaven, the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven? Again, verse 10, Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. When Moses built the tabernacle, when he was up on the mount getting the instructions to bring heaven down to earth, a piece of heaven down to earth for his people. He was setting up the government of God in the earth. He was releasing the kingdom of heaven into the earth. That was his plan. When Moses received the instructions in Exodus 20 through 32, I believe it is, when he received detailed instructions for the priesthood, for creating the ark, for creating the lampstands, for creating the table of showbread, for creating every single piece of the temple of God, his house, he was receiving an exact replica of what's in heaven. And he was giving, it was a gift to his people to receive on earth as it is in heaven. A piece of a place where you go to worship God. God has tried to bring heaven to his people for thousands of years. And yet we, as his people, keep getting in the way. He's trying to release mysteries of his kingdom so we can bring another piece of heaven down here and release it in earth, because every piece of heaven that comes down here and is released into the earth, it saves people, it heals people, and it delivers people. We are here to set the captives free, right? That's why Christ came, to set the captives free. Captive from what? Pharaoh? No. Captive to Satan's grip on your life. So every piece of heaven that comes, comes to save, heal, and deliver his people. Set the captives free. When Moses went and cried out, "Let my people go," that was the fire of God burning in him to set his people free so they could go out of Egypt and know their God. Know their God. On a personal level. We are created to release the government of God into the earth. That's what the body of Christ, the church, those called out of the world and up to God are called to do. That's what we're created to do. That's what we're supposed to be doing every day in our prayer closet, every day we spend in the Word, every moment. It is supposed to be taking us, flooding us. The waste needs to come out, the things that are not of God, and we're to be filled up, and we're to release that, his mysteries, his government, into the earth. Why? To set the captives free, to save, heal, and deliver people so they can enter the kingdom of heaven too. That's what we're created for. Are we answering that call? Like, are we, you know, I can look at President Trump and I can say he was created to be president of the United States and set the captives free. That's what he was created for. Regardless of your personal opinion of the man, he was chosen by God and placed in that office. And he has done more for the church in his time in office than any president in history. He's done more to set the captives free. He was created by God for that place. And you know what he's doing? He's fulfilling his call. And he is setting the captives free. Are we fulfilling our call? You think, well, you know, I'm a housewife, and I take care of the kids, and my husband goes to work, and so we just do this thing, you know? So I'm not sure what my purpose is. Well, if you have one child, or if you have 10 children, your purpose is to raise up those children to be warriors in the kingdom of heaven, to bring up 10 vessels who will in turn release the kingdom of heaven in the earth, to teach them how to seek the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, to make sure they are not captivated by what the enemy is swirling around them every single day. That is one of the highest callings that you can possibly have, because the impact of those 10 children, the ripple effect of that, is beyond what you can imagine. Look, one man, we can look at Matthew Henry, we can look at the Wesley brothers, we can look at, and isn't the Wesley mom, she had several children, and all of her children grew up to be in ministry. She prayed faithfully every day. She every single day without fail, she prayed. And she prayed for her children that they would fulfill their destiny every single day. And every one of her children grew up to be powerful vessels in the kingdom of heaven. Powerful. And she had a lot of kids. Don't limit yourself by your circumstances, because that's exactly what the enemy wants you to do. Back to Jesus' prayer. Back to releasing the kingdom of heaven here on earth. Back to the commission and the call of God on your life. Back to what he wants to do in his children this year. 2020 is the year of shaking, and he is going to allow shakings to come into our life. Why? I shared it last time. To uproot everything that can be uprooted. To shake everything that can be shaken, so that what remains is an unshakable force in the earth, where you can get a complete download from heaven, and it will flow through you, and you will release it into the earth. You will release it into your home. You will release it into your neighborhood. You will walk to schools, and you will release it into the campuses in your town. You will come and you will pray for your nation. You will pray for your president. You will pray for your church. You are called to be an unshakable force. Bring the shaking, I say. Bring it, Lord. Bring it. I want to be an unshakable force for you. I want to be all that you created me to be. What's the army slogan? You know, be all you can be. Be all you can be. Absolutely be all you can be. In the kingdom of heaven, you are called to release the kingdom of heaven in the earth. You are called to release the government of God in the earth. The enemy comes in and he interferes and he thwarts that time after time after time, but the time is short. The time is now to release the government of God in the earth. What happened when Moses was up on the mount? He's receiving heaven. Heaven's tabernacle to bring here on earth as it is in heaven. He is receiving an identical replica of heaven's tabernacle to bring down here in the earth. He is up on the mount 40 days, doesn't need to eat, doesn't need to drink, doesn't need to sleep. He is so immersed in God, God is all he needs. Meanwhile, at the base of the mount, the Israelites are getting shaky. You see all that thundering up on that mountain? Exodus 32. You see all that thundering up on that mountain? We fear. We're afraid. Is Moses still there? Are we just going to be at the base of this mountain?
She brought us out of Egypt. What, to just leave us here?
Aaron, come on over here. Let's have a talk.
We want you to build us an idol that we can worship.
And Aaron, when Moses confronts him,
the people forced me to do this. I melted the gold and out popped this calf,
like it was able to do that, right?
And what did they do? They took the idol of Egypt, the calf, the ox, they took the idol of Egypt and they put it right at the base of the mountain where God was speaking to Moses.
It is an absolute miracle. In fact, were it not for the intercessions of Moses himself, they would have all been destroyed.
In fact, Moses, it's like he's pushing back, you know. Pushing, oh, God, no. No, you can't smite them because he knows it's coming. He sees the judgment. It's coming. It's coming down the mountain. No. We don't want the world to hear that you brought the people out of Egypt only to destroy them in the desert. Remember that? Get out of my way. I'm going to smite these people. I'll create a whole new nation right out of you. God, no. Take me. Moses willing to lay his own life down. Moses willing to lay his own life down to keep God from destroying the people who brought the God of Egypt in their midst.
Now that act was not without judgment. Judgment did come. But because of Moses' intervention, it was not near as severe as the destruction of an entire nation. But let me tell you, the consequence of the people not seeking God, the people's impatience, while God was telling his servant Moses how to bring heaven down to earth, because they were not patient. They should have been at the base of the mount praying, worshiping God, as they heard his thunderous voice from the mountain, shaking the mountain. I would have been on my face for 40 days. I mean, 20 years ago I might not have been, but today I would have been. Exodus 33. Verse 7, you know, there's a lot of places in Scripture that rend the heart. They bring correction. It breaks us, you know. Because he speaks to us through his word. He wants us to change our heart. He wants us to allow him to rend our heart. Scripture encourages us. It brings blessing to us. It brings life to us. And like I said, it brings correction, which is important. It's just as important as love. You know, the Proverbs tells us a wise man loves correction. But this passage of Scripture is one of the most grievous passages of Scripture to me, anyway. Exodus 33, verse 7. And Moses took the tabernacle and pitched it without the camp, afar off from the camp, and called it the tabernacle of the congregation. And it came to pass that everyone which sought the Lord went out unto the tabernacle of the congregation, which was without the camp. And it came to pass when Moses went out unto the tabernacle, that all the people rose up and stood every man at his tent door and looked after Moses until he was gone into the tabernacle. And it came to pass, as Moses entered into the tabernacle, the cloudy pillar descended and stood at the door of the tabernacle, and the Lord talked with Moses. And all the people saw the cloudy pillar stand at the tabernacle door, and all the people rose up and worshiped every man in his tent door. And I'm just going to read this first line of verse 11. And the Lord spake unto Moses face to face, as a man speaketh unto his friend. You think, well, he did build the tabernacle. Yes, he did. He did come in his cloud, the pillar of cloud. Yes, he did. But in verse 7, and Moses took the tabernacle and pitched it without the camp, afar off from the camp. The kingdom of heaven brought into the earth, the government of God released to his people that he rescued from slavery. And the tabernacle cannot be in their midst. It's far off. Instead of it being in the center of the camp, the focal point of their very existence, it's far off. And when Moses heads there, the whispers begin in the congregation, all through the camp. Hundreds of thousands of people, all through the camp, Moses is going to the tabernacle. And they go to the doorpost and stick their head out of their own tent. And as Moses enters the tabernacle, the cloudy pillar descends. And they, in their home, at their doorpost, fall and worship God. You think, well, that's a good thing, right? That they're worshiping God. And that is a good thing. When Moses was up on that mount for 40 days and 40 nights, and he ate, and he drank, and he breathed only God. God deposited within him his government that Moses was to release in the earth. And if the people had been at the base of the mount, worshiping God while Moses was up there, seeking him to prepare their hearts for the presence of God to enter, for the kingdom of heaven to be released into the earth through them, his chosen people, that tabernacle, they should have been preparing their hearts. That tabernacle would have been in the center of town. The center of camp. And when the cloudy pillar came down upon that camp, they would have fell surrounding the tabernacle. On their faces and worshipped him. The government of God released through Moses, through the presence and the pillar of God, into his people, into the earth. And as they wandered the desert, and he fed them with manna from heaven and water from rocks. The truth is, and there's all kinds of good messages about that, but the truth is, every step they took would have brought life to the desert that they walked in. Instead, they become a wandering people. Sin after sin after sin, pulling them further and further from the promise of God until they're at the edge of the promised land. And the word of the spies comes back to them.
And they heed the voice of the spies instead of the voice of God, because back at the mount, they didn't prepare themselves to receive of the kingdom of heaven, release the kingdom of heaven, and descend on a nation they were to take over. They had to die in that desert, and their next generation were risen up to take over under the command of Joshua, who, by the way, was the one in this scripture, the redeeming moment of this scripture in Exodus. The redeeming moment to my broken heart as I read this scripture. Verse 11, and the Lord spake unto Moses face to face as a man speaketh unto his friend. And he turned again into the camp, but his servant Joshua, the son of Nun, a young man, departed not out of the tabernacle. He never even left. Aaron, who became the high priest, was not even allowed in the tabernacle. He had to go through so much persecution, so much cleansing, so much preparation then to one day be the high priest. But Joshua, the man who would one day lead them across the Jordan, lead them around Jericho to bring the walls down. He had not sinned against God. And he was allowed to immerse himself in the presence of God. He received the kingdom of heaven. And it took 40 years before he could release the government of God into the promised land. 40 years. With a whole new batch of people who had been humbled at the edge of the land that God promised their ancestors. My friends, do you realize how close we are to a release of the kingdom of heaven and the earth? A powerful, powerful release. Into this nation, 20 years of repentance by this ministry alone. I'm not speaking of any other ministries that do identification and repentance, because I know they're out there. But 20 years of this ministry praying over the atrocities committed against the Native Americans, the African Americans, the Asian Americans, the Hispanic Americans. 20 years of repentance over abortion and human trafficking. 20 years of repentance over the corruption of our government and the destabilization that the money behind it has done to over 100 and I think 20 nations around the world. 20 years of repentance over that has paved the way for this hour in which we live, this hour in which we live, that we get the privilege, the most humbling privilege and honor of releasing the kingdom of heaven into the earth. We are at the base of the mountain, and we are called to be preparing ourselves so that when our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. When that is released, we are ready. Are we preparing our hearts? Are we rending our hearts? Are we allowing the shaking? Are we allowing the tearing to take place within our lives, our hearts, so that we are ready for what he's going to release in this earth? 20 years. Do you know what it brought us in the first of all, 20 years of repentance? It brought us President Trump, regardless of your personal opinion of that man. He's God's choice. And any other opinion is an attack from the enemy. And we as children of God are called. Paul told Timothy in 2 Timothy, pray for your leaders that may go well with you. And that's at a time when the leaders were killing the Christians, flat out, ripping them apart, crucifying them on crosses, having them thrown into the lion's den and ripped apart limb by limb, by gladiators. Pray for your leaders that it may go well with you. That's a command. Pray for your leaders and the promise, it will go well with you. 20 years brought us President Trump, God's chosen man, to pave the way over on that side for the body of Christ to release the kingdom of heaven into the earth. 20 years. Let me tell you a couple things. January 22nd, President Trump has declared that Sanctity of Life Day. He's the first president in history to speak at the March for Life. He has signed nine pieces of legislation since taking office to end human trafficking. He has opened the door for prayer and to protect prayer in schools. He has opened the door for Bibles in schools. Schools actually have Bible classes now as an elective. Not all schools, but some schools do. And he just, this week, signed off on funding to protect houses of worship so you can beef up your security and protect yourself from people that will come in and kill your people while you're speaking to them. That sounds like a man I can get behind. That sounds like a man I can get behind. He is paving the way. God is paving the way through President Trump so that God can release the kingdom of heaven into our nation through his church, the government of God being released in the earth. The government of God released in the earth. You have no idea the power of God that will move through that. You have no idea the authority that his people will walk in. You have no idea the anointing that the kingdom of heaven will bring in this earth when that happens. It's not all going to be fluff and stuff. Because for those that haven't prepared themselves, their heart will truly be rent. As the tabernacle will not be built in their midst. This, my friend, this is a mystery of the kingdom of heaven. One in which he longs to deposit in the heart of his people. We've all heard about the word that Bob Jones gave, that when Kansas City Chiefs go to the Super Bowl and win, you know that revival's not far behind. It's been 50 years since the Kansas City Chiefs have been to the Super Bowl. 50 years. But the revival that we seek, that we pray for. Yes, it'll involve teaching. Yes, it'll involve the presence of God. Yes, it'll involve healing. Yes. But its purpose is to set the captives free from the clenches of the enemy, his grip on their lives. That's the purpose. To save, heal, and deliver the people of this earth, that they too might receive of the kingdom of heaven. It will transform the church into being the vessel that she's been created to be. And I'm going to tell you, if the church does not get behind our president, he will not be able to finish what God created him to do. We have got to be praying for him. Beyond all else, according to the word of God, we've got to pray for him. I had a vision of him this weekend, actually. I had a vision of him. And he was standing there and he had an arrow. He had a bow and arrow. And I thought, okay,
But I looked across the way, and there was Pelosi. And as he pulled back on that bow to release that arrow went forward with a force unlike anything I've ever seen. The Spirit of God, like the stones that David slung into the forehead of the giant Goliath. The finger of God pressed that stone into his brain and he died. That arrow went forward with the force of the finger of God. And it went through her, and I saw the money behind her. This money behind her, they're the ones that have signed on, and they're the ones that are driving this impeachment, this ridiculous impeachment, this Ukrainian hoax, the Russian hoax that was before that. They're the ones that are driving it, because they know that he knows who they are. How do I know that? Well, because the Lord told me that. And I just learned, after the Lord showed me that, I learned that FDR knew about the people that provoked World War I and the wealth that they gained as a result. He knew who they were, and he wanted to bring them down. And they threatened him. And if he were to try to bring them down, it would bring devastation to our nation. And since in the 20s, we had just recovered, we were in the process of recovering from the Great Depression, he feared the effect on the people of this nation, and that it would set us into devastating financial crisis that we would never recover from. You know, he didn't know God and trust God. So instead of turning them in, he turned the other way, and they provoked World War II because it made them so much money the first time around. These are the same people that began the IMF, the Federal Reserve, and the IRS. Now, the next person behind him who knew who they were, had every intention of exposing them and bringing down those organizations, was JFK. And we all know what they did to him, because he was so bold as to tell them he was bringing them down. And now we have another president who knows who they are. He knows who's behind the DC swamp, and he knows the Pelosi's and the Nadlers and the Schiff's. They're all just swamp rats. He knows who they are, the money behind it. And if the church will get behind him and pray. See, there's two differences between JFK. He had open doors. He was a real womanizer. You know, God said, okay, the next guy I'm going to set in motion, I got to work all that out. And I have his book right here. Doug Weed, he wrote a historical book about President Trump. I highly recommend you get it. He's a historian. He's written about every single president. He actually repented for his womanizing ways. His family told Doug that. So God said, I need to wait till man's a little bit more mature. He doesn't have open doors. And then I'm going to put him in office. I need to wait till my church is ready so they can get behind the man I've chosen for this hour. Because if they will, I'm going to release me into the earth, the kingdom of heaven, and the government of God in the earth.
So I had another vision about President Trump. I think it was yesterday morning. And I saw President Trump, and he was standing on this platform. It wasn't really high. It was maybe 4 or 5 inches high. And he was standing on this platform, and I thought, why is he on a platform if it's so short? But the Lord explained to me. As I prayed for him, I saw this force field, for lack of a much better word for describing God's protection, well up around him. And as I prayed, that field, that force field, that protection grew stronger and stronger and thicker and thicker. And it actually came up to him, around him, and swirled around him and went under him in this platform. And when I slowed down, because I was like startled by what I saw, he's like, why are you slowing your prayers? When I slowed down, because I was startled by what I saw this force field begin to thin out and slow down. And he said, my church needs to pray for him and his protection, because the people he's after will seek to take his life. They, like they succeeded with JFK. And if they will get behind him and pray for him, regardless of their personal opinion, if they will stop listening to the mainstream media, if they will stop listening to man and start listening and heeding my voice as they pray for him, I will protect him as he seeks to bring these people down. But they've got to pray. It's essential for the future of our nation. You see, we are at a point in history where we've seen few pockets of God was about to release himself and his people when he brought his people out of Egypt. But because of their sin, they missed it. He was still their people. He still gave them the land. He still gave the promises, but he had so much more for them. And they missed it. Jesus came, and I know it was in God's will. It was God's plan for him to be crucified. And when the church was born, the Holy Spirit came, and it flowed. The enemy began to corrupt it. And the impact and the efficacy of the church was diminished. It didn't even go 1,000 years. Here we are at another point where God not only wants to release the 7 R's that we pray for, but he wants to bring a revolution in our nation. He wants to bring a revival that will change us from within, that will change the people of God, that will enable us to release the kingdom of heaven, to release the government of God in the earth, to be an unshakable force. We want to see Roe versus Wade overturned. We literally have the opportunity for that. The authority that the people of God will walk in is unprecedented in history. Unprecedented. That's what awaits us. We want to see the end of human trafficking. Do you know that God wants to give that? We will have the opportunity to end it if we will embrace the shaking, if we will allow him to rend our hearts and us to stay at the base of the mountain and prepare ourselves to receive his kingdom here on earth. Be the vessel, my friends. Be the vessel with which he wants to flow through. Let the distractions fall to the wayside. Let everything that is not of God fall to the wayside, because it won't matter in the kingdom timeline. Does it matter in the kingdom timeline That's what you need to ask yourself. Is this a distraction? Is it a priority? Is it something God wants me to do? Is it taking me from my time with Him? Is it taking me from my purpose with Him? My vessel being ready to release His kingdom in the earth? These are the questions as the shaking continues that you need to ask yourself. Because my friends, the Kansas City Chiefs won the Super Bowl. And the revival that's coming is going to be unlike anything we've ever seen. It will not be what we expect. It will bring judgment on the church. It will bring a purification of the church. It will bring a refining of the church. But it will be a move of God that will keep us on our faces before Him and enable us to release the kingdom of heaven in the earth. Those of you who heard DC, you heard about the visions that God gave us about this. Karen shared hers. It was a beautiful vision about what God was about to do. And she saw that in the midst of the Kansas City game. And it may look like San Francisco, they were in the lead. And it may look like the enemy and their money, San Francisco, the gold rush, and that money was used to corrupt the nation. It may look like the people behind it are winning. But if the church will pray, God is going to bring us through and we're going to win this war. It's so crucial. When He comes, His mysteries will flow into His vessels. When He comes, it will literally transform us from within. And those who will be touched first will be those that stayed at the base of the mountain and rent their hearts and allowed His Spirit to rend their hearts, stripping everything away that is not of Him and infusing them with His presence so that the kingdom of heaven could actually be, as Jesus prayed, on earth as it is in heaven. Let Your will be done, my Lord. Heavenly Father, I thank You. I thank You for Your word. I thank You for Your promises. I thank You for how You speak to Your people that seek Your face. I thank You that this is something You want to do in every child of God. I thank You, Father God, for what You're releasing in the people. Rend our hearts that we might be prepared. Rend our hearts that we might seek Your face. Rend our hearts, Lord God. Let us separate ourselves. Exodus 33 says, for those that wanted to worship, they had to go without the camp. They had to go outside the camp to worship You. How You wanted to be in the center of that camp, the focus of who they were, the focus, Lord God, of Your children. Your very presence emanating them from that point through and through. How You longed for that. Let us become a people, Lord God, that will not just look for You to rescue us, but a people that will seek You to release the kingdom of heaven in the earth. A people that will seek Your face to be the vessels that will release the kingdom of heaven and the earth, the mysteries that transform lives. Awaken Your people, O God. Awaken us to the truth. Awaken us to Your presence. Awaken us to Your Spirit. That time can stand still as we immerse ourselves in Your presence. I thank You, Lord. I thank You for Your presence. I thank You. Thank You. Thank You, Lord. Let Your anointing flow
over your people and let them experience as your presence is just piercing through my being through and through. Let them experience you, God. You long for your people. You long for them all to be able to come up the mount. To be the Joshuas who stay in the tabernacle in your presence. Do this in us, O God. Do this in us. In your precious and most holy, holy name. Amen. I know it went a little bit over. Thank you. Thank you, John. Thank you. I love you guys. I love you all. And I just ask that you would take heed. Take heed. It's so important.